Today on Seculo, the Biden administration declares war on conscience protections. We'll talk about that and how it impacts one of our clients today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is a move that it's not shocking out of this administration, especially with who we've told you serves as the head of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, as in California as Attorney General. This is someone who wanted to eliminate pro-life pregnancy centers, kept going after the Little Sisters of the Poor, and even after the victories at the Supreme Court, not giving up, always trying to advance the cause of Planned Parenthood over the cause of individuals and individual rights in the United States. Why do I say that? Well, now HHS recommended to the Department of Justice to drop the Department of Justice lawsuit against the University of Vermont Medical Center. You might remember, we do represent a nurse who used to work at the University of Vermont Medical Center. She had a conscience, which her fellow colleagues knew, conscience objection to participating in elective abortions. And there are laws on the books, the Church Amendment laws on the books that protect Americans with these conscience protections. So she didn't want to. This was in 2018, so this goes back 3 years. She contacts the ACLJ. Doesn't want to file a lawsuit that makes it public and, you know, puts her job in jeopardy. But there's an administrative process you can go through by filing the complaint through, again, the government. And then they look at whether or not there should be a lawsuit filed. So she filed the complaint with what was the newly formed at the time Conscience and Religious Freedom Division. That was formed by the Trump administration, the HHS Office of Civil Rights. So it's kind of like filing a civil rights complaint with another employee, you know, if you were dealing with like employment law on its own. But this worked directly through HHS. Ultimately, you know, that didn't have to lead to a court case, but the Department of Justice decided under the Trump administration that they could not come to an agreement with the University of Vermont, that they had to file a federal lawsuit. So that was about to begin. The lawsuit was about to begin. And then the Biden administration, surprise, surprise, pulled the plug on that lawsuit, told the court to dismiss this, that they are no longer want to pursue this. So the question now is, if you are an individual in this situation, what do you do? Because here, this was a unique situation. She didn't want to file a lawsuit. We respect that. Wanted to keep her privacy. We've got a new blog up at ACLJ.org. We come back. Frank Manion will be joining us. Also, he's the lead attorney, senior counsel with the ACLJ, representing this client. But also on the fight for your rights here, it is not over because the DOJ decided not to bring a lawsuit against the University of Vermont Medical Center. You still have rights, and Thayer, that is important for people to know. They have protections under the federal law.
Absolutely, and have for decades, Jordan. I just want to reiterate, the Trump administration took a statute that was decades old and actually enforced it for the first time. And I would just say this at the outset of this broadcast, Jordan. We say this a lot, but the statutory law matters, but so does administration of the law. So does enforcement of the law. We saw both of those things finally start to take place under the last administration. But right now, you've got HHS Secretary Javier Becerra and the Attorney General Merrick Garland. Jordan, they're not administering the law. They're not enforcing the law. They're laying down. It's going to take groups like the ACLJ pushing back and exposing that.
All right, folks, we come back. Frank Manion will be joining us. We'll get a live report on, again, this situation, this attack on the rights of those who are pro-life, but also on how to move forward as well, because we believe this is one of those reminders that the ACLJ is needed now more than ever. Support our work at ACLJ.org. We have a very hostile, we have made no mistake about that, no question about that, an extremely hostile Health and Human Services when it is led by someone who is owned by the abortion industry. And that is very true when you're talking about Javier Becerra. If you look at his record, look at the actions that have just occurred. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Secula, we are joined by ACLJ Senior Counsel Frank Mannion, lead attorney, representing, you know, just a reminder here, this was a case we've talked about a lot now over 3 years. So just a reminder, again, if you're just joining us on Secula, we have represented a nurse at the University of Vermont Medical Center. She's now moved on. She did not do this publicly. She went through an administrative process. She can remain anonymous, continue her career. You can understand the reasons there. But this operating room nurse was coerced into assisting in an abortion, even though her name, it was actually on a list of nurses who had moral and religious objections to being part of those kind of procedures. She was told, she put her scrubs on it for the operation. Then she was met by the surgeon who knew of her objection, who said, "Don't hate me." And then she had to participate in what is, again, as it stands now, a legal killing under U.S. law of an innocent human being. She didn't want to be part of this. They did not swap her out for a different nurse who didn't have these concerns, and the situation moved into directly with the HHS. I want to bring in Frank Mannion now because, Frank, it was a unique situation. It wasn't a normal kind of file a lawsuit case. It went through an administrative procedure similar to like an employment. If you had an employment situation and one of your rights were violated under the Equal Opportunity Employment Act, something like that. But what we saw was that HHS under the Trump administration, Frank, opened up their own civil rights division where you could file complaints on these matters. And after 3 years had determined they needed to go to court on their own through the Department of Justice because they could not come to an agreement with University of Vermont Medical Center on how to move forward.
That's right, Jordan. I mean, it's important for people to understand what happened here. This nurse did not want to file a civil lawsuit. We talked to her about that as an option. She didn't want to put her family through the anxiety and the rigors of what a civil lawsuit entails. In fact, she left the state shortly after this happened. She was so upset by what happened, she left the whole area of operating room nurse. Then she left the University of Vermont, and she moved to another part of the country. So she didn't want to be dragged back to Burlington, Vermont to do a civil lawsuit, especially when we were able to tell her 3 years ago under the previous administration that there was now something called the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, which would take her case and vindicate her rights against the University of Vermont, punish the University of Vermont in some way. She wouldn't get anything out of this personally, But they would vindicate her rights and those of her colleagues who also had been subjected to pressure and in some cases coercion to participate in abortions. But it's also clear to understand, not only did HHS take this case, they referred to it as the most open and shut conscience violation case they had ever seen. The Department of Justice did file a lawsuit on her behalf 8 months ago. And now, all of a sudden, because there's a different name at the top of the department's letterhead, they've decided to abandon the position that they vigorously and forcefully argued last December and have asked the court to just drop the case and said to the University of Vermont, we're sorry we investigated you. Have a nice day. Never mind. It's a complete outrage, Jordan.
Yeah, and Frank, I do want to make sure people understand here, because this was a unique situation. We have these laws on the books that do protect conscience rights. This was an opportunity to see it be enforced from the Department of Justice against a medical center like this. We were looking forward to the precedent this could set, because it would make employers, again, think twice before taking these kind of actions, because they would see it wouldn't just be the individual's complaint, but this larger action and investigation by the Department of Justice. But now that we've said that, and even though there has been this shift, and we know we've talked about Becerra and his hostility to the pro-life movement, it's not even that he's so pro-abortion, it's that he is hostile to the pro-life individuals, people who have a pro-life position. We've gone through his history in the past. In California, they basically try to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers, still trying to win after the Little Sisters of the Poor, even after those cases were decided at the Supreme Court. So we know the hostility there for the administration. But, Frank, there is hope here, because if someone is an individual in one of these situations and does choose, and they feel like they would want to go the route of the lawsuit, that option is still available. Though, of course, this is a setback to the life movement, as we knew the Biden administration would be.
There's no question about it, Jordan. And we have to be clear, as outrageous as this is, and as angry as I and you and others feel about what they've done here, we haven't relied on the government to enforce pro-lifers' rights before. We've been doing these cases for over two decades at the ACLJ, and we've known that this church amendment in particular could only be enforced by the government. And that's been a problem, because we were not able, under any previous administration before the Trump administration, to have them actually enforce the church amendment. What was wonderful, as far as we were concerned about this case, was for the first time ever, we had the government on the side of the pro-lifers in these cases, with all the weight that the government can bring, as opposed to, you know, an individual civil lawsuit, as effective as that can be. But you're right. You know, all is not lost here. We go back to where we were, and we are willing and able to fight for the rights of pro-lifers in the healthcare field and elsewhere whenever they're discriminated against. We have other laws at our disposal. There's a patchwork of state laws that's always been on the books, and we still have the federal civil rights laws, which we have used numerous times and will continue to use.
You know, in this situation, you know, after years, again, you had a Department of Justice. They were going in, they're making their case. I know it was exciting to see finally the teeth from the federal side. But Frank, you said something that was so important, is that we have never relied at the ACLJ on the government to do the work for the pro-life movement. It hasn't been. It's been administration. By the way, this is not always Republican Democrat. This was new under the Trump administration, Frank, that they would even take this step, and it was a welcome step. But as we saw with elections, you put in new actors. We don't know if they'll continue to even operate this HHS new civil rights office that they open. But at the same time, it does remind people the hostility still that exists at a major level, including at the cabinet level, when it comes to just people's rights. They don't believe that those rights should be protected. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what the Department of Justice is saying. That is the outrage part of this.
You're right. The hostility is what's new. I mean, before we had apathy, even under Republican administrations, let's be honest about it, and even under the Obama administration. But now we have hostility. Remember, the Church Amendment was passed in 1973 by an overwhelming majority of Democrats and Republicans in the United States Congress, including, by the way, a brand new senator from Delaware named Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And the reason that it was passed was we understood that what the Supreme Court had done in Roe v. Wade legalized abortion in the United States. But it was understood by people of goodwill on both sides that there were deeply held religious beliefs by millions of Americans against participating in this. And what they tried to do was to make it legally impossible for employers to force pro-life healthcare workers to have to violate their consciences. And the wonderful thing was that in the 3 years that we had the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, we had the government finally putting teeth in that amendment. And as of this week, and you're right, not exactly a shock, as of this week, that's over with.
Yeah, I mean, this is, to me, Than, what is upsetting here is that the government is deciding, hey, these protections that, as Frank just laid out, they've been there since the 1970s. And instead of saying, hey, is this not about whether abortion is legal or not and whether or not the procedure can move forward, it's whether this individual's rights were violated. And that shouldn't matter to Javier Becerra, as extreme as he is, for this individual. But that's how extreme he is, Than. That is how this is why there was so much opposition to his appointment and to be HHS secretary. It's also one of the reasons why he ended up in that role, coming out of being an attorney general to HHS. He is an activist for the abortion industry.
Jordan, he is that extreme. It is why he was chosen. But look, whether he agrees or doesn't agree with federal law, it is his obligation to uphold it. And frankly, it's the attorney general's obligation to uphold it, too. So if a decades-old statute was violated, and if this nurse's fundamental rights were violated, as they clearly were in this case, it is their duty, Jordan, to enforce that law and to see this lawsuit through. They've failed in that duty. I would tell you this, though, Jordan. Frank mentioned how the way the church amendments are structured, they're dependent on the federal government to enforce them and to bring lawsuits. There is a provision, or there is a piece of legislation that's been introduced in the United States Senate by Senator Lankford and a number of his colleagues that would actually create a private right of action for cases like this. I think this is probably a moment in history where an idea like that needs to be revisited. I know the senators are looking at it again, but the dropping of this case, this might be the catalyst to give something like that momentum, Jordan.
All right, we come back. We'll continue to discuss this as well, bring in more of our team members, but Frank Mania, I think, is going to stay with us as well so he can continue this discussion. If you got questions, comments, Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, listen, this is just the hostility towards, a lot of people, because you could take this hostility and say it's a hostility towards Christians, a hostility to those who believe that life, have a different view of when life begins, and they're not going to be protected by the federal government, but that doesn't mean that we can't fight for their rights. That's the key here. The ACLJ, you can file the lawsuit if that's what you choose to do. And you need to speak up and stand out. We can't let this precedent be set that these universities can force you to violate your conscience and participate in procedures that could haunt you for the rest of your life. So we'll be right back on Seculum.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular Frank Manion, senior counsel with the ACLJ, continues to join us as well. I just want to put this into kind of the larger context as well. A reminder to everybody in this first half hour of the broadcast that if you are someone in a situation like this, the ACLJ is there for you. As we had on yesterday, a pastor joined us live from a live church, Pastor Purdue, that we're representing in a land use matter. And the church there, and we're able to represent them at no cost to the church. If you are someone in a situation like this nurse was, we are there for you. You go to aclj.org/help. Or if you go right onto the homepage, you'll see it right on the top of the homepage as well. And there's a little contact form you fill out, name, information, a little bit about your situation, so that we can get the right attorney to the right person to contact you to decide what the right course of action is to protect your rights. That is there. It is the best way for us to know if your rights are being violated, if you need representation. So go to, again, it's aclj.org/help. Remember that if you're in one of these situations, if you work in one of these environments where these kind of decisions, so if you're, you know, the medical world, the nursing world, are commonplace. Now, Than, I know you mentioned in the chat, there are a good friend of ours, Senator Langford, is going to put forward legislation to try and privatize this right of action. I don't want to get too into the details there, but basically make it clear cut and available that people still could on their own file a lawsuit.
Yeah, Frank has talked about the ability to bring a lawsuit on the part of individuals in cases like this one. Jordan, Senator Langford has put forward a bill that he calls the Conscience Protection Act. It looks like it's got about 25 in that range co-sponsors in the United States Senate. It would explicitly say in violations of this kind of case, in violations of the Church Amendment, that series of conscience protections, there would be a private right of action. So the nurse in this case could bring the suit on her own. She wouldn't have to depend on making a complaint to the Department of Health and Human Services and then having it referred to the Department of Justice for a lawsuit. So while there are existing options on the table, Jordan, this piece of legislation would explicitly say that there is a private right of action. And, you know, as I look at this case, I think we've moved past a time where we can depend on the political branch to enforce these laws, because we warned about this, Jordan. We knew it was coming. We knew they would drop it. I think it's time to give individuals an opportunity to pursue it on their own.
You know, Frank, I think what is unique here is that we are seeing a bigger picture where we have this major case at the Supreme Court out of Mississippi. This fall, we filed three separate briefs in that matter. The issue of life and the protection of the unborn is going to probably get more attention than it's gotten in maybe a decade or more, maybe longer than that, because of this case that is a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. So we're starting to see the pro-abortion side of this, the Javier Becerra's, the Biden administration, they are becoming more and more radical, more and more, yes, defensive, but also taking offensive steps to try and protect the abortion industry.
I think you're right, Jordan. And that's what frightens me about what they've done here. You know, everyone reads the headlines this week. Department of Justice drops case that they filed on behalf of a pro-life nurse in Vermont. How many human resource managers in hospitals across the country just read the headline or just read the very superficial account of what they did underneath the headline and think, oh, okay, it's okay to do that now. You know, they're not aware of the other laws that are on the books, that they're not aware of the details of what happened here. And that's what concerns me, particularly with the radicalization of the abortion forces that we've seen, who now are in the highest places in the government, because you're absolutely right about that. They are on the defensive. They're frightened of what the Supreme Court's going to do with the Mississippi case. And it seems to me that is leading them to do exactly what you're talking about, which is take extreme measures against individual pro-lifers based on hostility. I also want to say something about what Dan was talking about. Senator Lankford's bill is exactly what we've been looking for 20 years. You know, this Church Amendment and similar federal laws are on the books, but they lack this private right of action. If there were a private right of action under the Church Amendment, we would have filed dozens more lawsuits than the ones we've filed over the years. Because the Church Amendment, quite frankly, is stronger than the generic Civil Rights Act of 1964, which we then litigate under. So, yes, Senator Lankford's bill is right on point. I've read it. It fills the need that we've been looking for decades. Whether it gets passed or not, I understand the politics of all that. But that's something that we need to get behind.
Well, listen, we have seen, and Frank, thanks for joining us for these, both segments of the broadcast, because we've seen how an administration can radically change this for good, for ill. We only got a brief time with it for good, but we saw you could create this new division within the Health and Human Services to protect the civil rights, which would include conscience rights of the American workers when they are in the workplace, and to have these conscience protections. And we have seen, again, that you can put that in place. The DOJ can take action on behalf of those individuals if they file a complaint, so they don't have to go through the normal litigation process. But you see that when a hostile administration comes in, who isn't even looking at it as the individual's right. I mean, Wes, to me, that's what can be the most upsetting, is that they put abortion, they put the politics of it ahead of the protecting the individual American who by law has this conscience protection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was someone saying, I don't want to be, you know, I'm against the draft, I'm against the war, they have conscience protection. We allow these conscientious objectors. We always have in our country. Right. And I feel like Javier Becerra would be standing beside them.
Oh, absolutely.
But when it came to the pro-life nurse, that same kind of objection, which we're not supposed to get into and analyze mm-hmm. why and how, because and that's what the courts have said, they side with the big industry or the big hospital over the individual.
Yeah. And this case in Vermont, as we know, is not an isolated case. When we've been talking about this for the last several years, I mentioned the fact that my wife, who is a surgery nurse, had the same thing happen to her where she's forced into a situation. You can't leave a patient there in the operating room, and they tell you after you're already gowned and gloved, this is an abortion, and you can't leave for the safety of the patient itself. This happens more than people know. And Jordan, there is a legal and a moral issue that are tied to this. The moral issue, of course, the obvious one is abortion itself, but there is also the moral issue that this individual nurse in this particular case, that her rights also were legally transgressed on, but that is not just a legal issue. That is a moral issue too. And there needs to be recourse. There needs to be right of action to protect people like this, because the legal issue and the morality of this abortion and of forcing people to perform abortions are inseparably connected.
Yeah. Harry, when I look at this, I see, you know, we had the right motions put in place, but I think what Frank said is important is that, you don't give up in these because the government didn't enforce the right. I mean, we still have all these legal options available to us. It's just important that people speak out because, as Frank said, what the headline will be is that if you manage one of these hospitals, well, it doesn't matter if this person speaks out. But we can take this to court. We can represent these people.
You're absolutely correct, and you're absolutely correct to emphasize the rights that we still enjoy, notwithstanding the spineless decision by the Biden administration, which essentially has declared deer hunting season on religious folks.
All right, folks, we come back, 7.5 hour coming up. We're going to get more into the infrastructure issue or what's going on at Capitol Hill with that legislation. It's back and forth consistently. Go to ACLJ.org, that new blog up on this, our client out of Vermont in this pro-life case. We're going to continue fighting. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.